Blog Talk Radio.
All right, with us on the line, like every week, is our War Room Sports college football contributor, Fred Perdue. What's going on, Fred?
How y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good, man, pretty good. Look, man, let's get right into this because I know you got some games of the week to do, but I gotta ask you a question before we even get into that. Last weekend, you know, we saw a game that actually lived up to its billing, Notre Dame versus Florida State. I just have to get your opinion on the controversial play of the game. Was that the correct call by the officials to end that game, or was it not? What do you think?
As an offensive guy, I really didn't want to see, you know, I wanted to see more of that game, but yeah, it was the right call. It really was. The first time it was an incorrect call in the beginning. It should have been a penalty as well.
Right.
If he would have just ran into him without extending his arms, it would have been a clean play. But because he went out to literally block him, you end up with a penalty. So Brian Kelly, he said something interesting to me. That was kind of interesting to me as the breath blew the call. Florida State got rewarded. But I think for me, that was a bit of a setup for later. If Notre Dame runs the table, Florida State runs
the table. Right.
We all, in our minds, everyone thinks Florida State screwed Notre Dame. So it sets it up for later. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He can't throw his players under the bus. He can't really say anything bad about the refs, really. So he just kind of just put it in our minds for just a little bit later. He knows
exactly, because I've been hearing people all week still saying that Notre Dame got screwed, but you can't look at that play in your right mind and think that that wasn't a legitimate call. Like you said, he just blocked right off of the line of scrimmage. Now, like, had he done a stellar job of maybe even turning around to act like he was running a route, you know, even if you were going to push him, even if you're going to extend your arms, you can at least turn around, act like you're running a route, and he's just in the way of your route. You do something. But, yeah, he just looked like, you know, the ball was snapped and he went out there to block. So I just wanted to get your opinion of that before we got into the games of the week. And with the games of the week, let's start with those folks from down there in your area. The U at Virginia Tech. What's your thoughts on this game?
A classic rivalry game extending way back into the Big East days. This game, Virginia Tech has not really looked like Virginia Tech. At some point, do we pull the plug on Frank Beamer and just say, let's start over, hand the keys to his son or Bud Foster or someone? Virginia Tech just doesn't look like Virginia Tech. They're known for special teams and defense. Well, they're not really playing special teams or defense. So with this game, I don't really have a clear-cut winner. This is more of a toss-up because Miami can't stop anyone, and they try to give people games. They have an identity, which is running the football, play action down the field, old-school football. But they want so badly for this freshman phenom quarterback, Brad Kaya, to be so great at throwing the football that they don't do my number one rule about any offensive football, KSS, keep, well, I can't really say it, but you know what I mean, keep simple. They don't keep it simple. Miami, for all, how bad they've been defensively and how up and down they've been, they still, if they run the table and with a little help from maybe a loss here and there from some teams that shouldn't, from some teams like Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech down the road, they have a chance to actually go to the ACC championship game. If they can run the table, they're going to probably lose to Florida State. Let's be honest about it. They have a chance. And it's just this division could end up with a four. Everyone could be 4-4 at the end. It's very wide open. It's very weird. It's very bad. It kind of reminds me of the NFC South and the NFL, kind of.
Definitely a classic rivalry game. I've actually been to two games in this series, one at the Orange Bowl some years back and one at Virginia Tech. So, you know, I've seen some of these matchups close, you know, right up close at hand. And they were some really, really good games. Let's go to the battle of the state of Michigan. Let's go Michigan at number 8, Michigan State.
This could get really ugly.
Sam Purcell, Tyrone Hill, ugly.
Yeah, worse. Way worse. Way worse. Think about Sam Purcell before the dental work, if he had it. it could be very bad. It could get really bad. Michigan State defense, again, is one of the best defenses in the country. Their quarterback, Cook, is just – Connor Cook is just such a he's not a great NFL prospect right now, but he can dice up a college defense. And when your defense is Michigan's defense, where they have no one, and I mean no one, they don't have just a no-name defense. Their no-name defense is so bad. Michigan is so bad on both sides of the ball. I could honestly see Michigan scoring 7 points or less in this game.
Wow. All right, so Michigan State should probably roll in this one. Our last game of the week, let's go down to Tennessee, where number 4 Alabama will be visiting. Roll Tide for all our Alabama fans out there that I know call in every week. Shout out to Tobias. Alabama and Tennessee, what's your thoughts?
59-0 last week. For all the comments about how Johnny Manziel ran around and did a lot of bad things and his bad habits on the field and off the field, I would have took Johnny Manziel any day of the week against Alabama because he could have at least given you 7 points. 59-0? You couldn't right. give me a field goal, a safety. You couldn't even score on your own. They could. To think how quickly Texas A&M got humbled from week one till now. They've been humbled, and they couldn't even score on themselves. And it was just bad. I think Nick Saban and the rest of that team after that 1-point win and how sloppy they played at Arkansas, it could get real bad again for Tennessee, who got slaughtered in the second half by Ole Miss, a pretty good on-and-off Ole Miss team. By the way, shout out to Bo Wallace at Ole Miss. He reminds me so much personality-wise of Jay Cutler. You know, when you have a quarterback like Jay Cutler, that's an inside thing. But when you have a quarterback like Bo Wallace. But, no, nonetheless, Alabama should roll in this game. Blake Sims, he's on when he's at home. The thing about Alabama, they're going to run the football. Amari Cooper is better than anyone on that Tennessee defense. And I think Alabama woke up. You should never wake up a sleeping giant.
Roll yeah. Up. They up now. All right. I got two situations I want to ask you about. But before I do that, let me get your top 5 selections right now for the Heisman Trophy. If it ended right now, who's sitting on that on that front row?
Dak Prescott, quarterback, Mississippi State, been very good all year. Has a little Tim Tebow factor to him. He's not the religious figure or any of that, but he's just putting up big numbers. Randy Heisman, trophy winner, Jameis Winston, when he's on, he's on. Reference mm-hmm. last week.
Last week, second half.
He's a second-half guy. Forget all the stuff off the field. On the field, this guy's a beast. Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon. He got his tackles back. He got a better O-line, and, well, you saw what happened, and we don't have to reference that much. Todd Gurley, Georgia running back. Regardless of the suspension,
still,
I think if he is able to come back at some point this season, he's been the best running back all year. I have to give it to him. He's just been so good. And just something completely out of the blue, quarterback Jake Waters out of Kansas State. Yes, I said it, Kansas State. He's been. If you haven't watched the Kansas State game, go back and watch the Kansas State game against Oklahoma. He was a masterful quarterback. He managed the game. Bill Snyder has a way of just coaching those guys up that no one expects to be good. He does his job, and I think this is the type of guy you're going to want. Maybe as a developmental guy late in the draft next year, no one will talk about him. He'll be your Connor Shaw or Tom Savage, whoever. He'll be that guy. But he is a guy that should stay on your radar.
All right. Speaking of coaching him up, Will Muschamp. I see a lot of reports saying that this guy might be coaching for his job this week. What's that hot seat like for him right now?
Let's see. On a scale of 1 to 10 and 10 being so hot he can't sit on it, it's on fire. First off, I'm thinking like 13, maybe 15. Nah, the heck with it. It's so hot. He's gone, man. It's getting to the point when, and you have games against Florida State left. This season's over for him. Jeremy Foley, their AD, says he's going to keep reviewing it. But what else do we need to see? Their offense has been just a mess. He's had three offensive coordinators in 4 years. His quarterback's been hurt. He's switching in and out quarterbacks. No identity on offense. They bring in this offensive coordinator from Duke, and they think he's going to be the guy. That offense still hasn't moved. You have all these great recruiting classes, and they do nothing for you. Yes, he can coach up a defense, but who cares if you have a defense if you can't score? So I think it's done. Then in a great scenario, I had a conversation with a couple people, and we came up with a fantasy scenario. Steve Spurrier comes back.
Wow.
Just work with you. Steve Spurrier
the prodigal
comes back
son
for
returns.
A couple years. Yes, the prodigal son returns. So Urban Meyer comes back. Dan Mullen comes back. Tim Tebow's the offensive coordinator. This is just in a world of fantasy. Tebow's—he's also the chaplain on the team.
I was about to say he got to have some kind of role in the church.
So you have all of that happening. And when Steve Spurrier retires, you have he's the AD, and Urban Meyer comes back to help out this team. Dan Mullen comes back. Charlie Strong even comes back, and they just assemble this super coaching staff. I don't think it'll happen, but anything's better than Muschamp right now.
Dream staff. All right, so the situation that we've been talking about for the past few weeks, I mean, really off and on, something pops up. We talk about this all year, but what's the latest with Florida State and famous Jameis Winston?
As long as he keeps winning, things are going to be great. When he starts, if he just happens to lose and things go down the hill, we may have a different storyline. But for right now, he's winning. And, you know, as well as anyone else, winning cures all. So I think with that, I think Jimbo's trying to spin the story other ways. And for me, I admitted something, and I rarely admit this, but I think Florida State really – they have championship written all over them. I said that last week after they beat Notre Dame because they just find ways to win. They have traits like those Alabama teams, those Florida teams, even those back in the day Miami teams that were really great, but they would find themselves in close games week in and week out, and Jameis was saving them. As long as if they can find a running game, they find a running game at all, look out.
That's how it is for them. It seems like everything's not coming as easily as it did last year, but they're proving to us that they're tested through adversity. So, you know, I think everybody's starting to come back around on these guys. Cause I mean, I know you are. I know I am. So we'll see how it plays out. So, all right, you know, as usual, thanks for joining us and talking a few minutes with us about college football. Let everybody know real quick where they can find you on the internet during the week when you're not, you know, talking on the War Room.
Well, you guys can catch me on Twitter talking college football and the NFL. I don't do the fantasy football thing too much, but I even dabble in that a little bit. F Purdue Sports on Twitter. You can always catch me on Field Vision with War Room Sports. And I'm working on a little project here called collegefootballextra.com. That'll be up in a couple about a week or so. I think that's going to be something fun I think that we'll have going.
All right, F Purdue Sports on Twitter, everybody. And like you said, just go to warroomsportstv.com, check out the latest episode of Field Vision. You can check Fred talking NFL football with us as well. So, all right, once again, brother, it's been a pleasure, and we will speak to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bro.